Good morning and welcome. Number 104 in your songbook. Starting our Christmas music. Of course, we're in December. Amen. Love singing it. Let's stand as we sing it together. Number 104. Joy to the world, O Lord.
See you this morning on a rainy old day, but we need the rain, amen. William Boone's brother passed away, younger brother passed away this week, and so you remember to pray for William, Lorraine, and the family, that the Lord will meet the special need there in their lives. And so let's go to the Lord now. Lord, as we come to you now, we pray especially that you'll be with William and the family, Lord, at the loss of this brother. I pray you'll strengthen him, encourage his heart, and Father, that maybe even through this circumstance, others may come to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Lord, we love you. We know this is the time of year where we celebrate the birth of Christ, Lord. And know that we start a little bit early on the Christmas carols, Lord, but we just love them, Lord. And I just pray, Father, we realize that we don't give up these precious, precious carols, hymns of praise of the birth of Christ and replace it with holiday seasons or Santa Claus. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful, Father, that you gave us the greatest gift we could ever receive, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Pray you'll bless the service, every part. Bless everyone that is here, Lord, and I pray that today your Spirit would meet with us, and Father, we'd see great things done for your glory. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
We want to extend a special welcome to any first-time guests. Men, if you'd make your way to the front. If this is your first time, all we're going to ask you to do is just raise your hand briefly. We're going to get some material about our ministry in your hands. Hopefully this will answer any initial questions you might have about grace. And inside this packet, if you could do us a favor, there's a visitor card. Fill that out for us. In a few minutes, we'll pass an offering plate. Don't feel obligated to put anything in there if you're not a member. But you can put that visitor card in there, and hopefully we'll get a chance to be able to connect with you and your family. So raise your hand at this time, or ushers on the lookout, and we'll get that information to you. If you have your bulletins, go ahead, pull those out. We're going to look inside the first page, our verse for the week. We've taken the challenge as a congregation, learn a verse of Scripture each week, sometimes multiple verses, from each book of the Bible. So hopefully at the end of the year, we'll all have memorized 66 verses. This week, 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Once again, continuing that theme, last week we were 2 John 6, and then 1 John chapter 3 2 weeks ago, but that continual aspect of obedience. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk what? walks louder than your talks. Hopefully that's the case for us as believers. Maybe people know that you're a Christian, but do they see it evident in your life? In your daily life, as they observe you, do they see this fact that, hey, this is someone who walks in truth. This is someone who's living out God's word. Hopefully that's something that can be said of you. Let's say the verse and the reference is a congregation. 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. 3 John 4. Hopefully you'll memorize that this week. Maybe even use that as a point of devotion for your family. Just looking at that book of 3 John. There is no chapters. That is the only chapter. Hopefully as you opened, you saw a little insert in your bulletin this week. We got a dual two-for-one deal on this flyer. All right, first is representing December 15th. We have our Christmas cantata in that evening service. The next week, the 22nd, there's not going to be any Sunday school. 10:30 service here in the main auditorium. We'll have our children's program. So this will just be one. I hope you commit to at least inviting one person out this week to either of those events. Maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a coworker, whatever the case may be. We have several more flyers in the back. We'd love for you to grab onto those and pass those out as well. We are in the December season, and with that, we have our angel tree fixed up there in the back. So if you want to help out by supporting those that may not have as good a Christmas as some of we may be able to, you can support one of the bus kids. We have ornaments on the tree. You can grab an ornament. What you're going to find is a name, you're going to find an age, and then it's going to have either a B or G on it designating whether it's a boy or a girl. So that way you can get a gift. All gifts we ask, just keep it under $20 just for the sake of being fair with that. But I encourage you, this would be a way to support the bus ministry. The kids always get excited. Hopefully we're going to pull in a few visitors between now and that children's program as well. So let me encourage you, grab one of those if you could. Also, this coming Thursday is our Grace Christian School Christmas concert. That's right in here, main auditorium, 7 o'clock. We'd encourage you to be there. There'll be a good combination of sacred music, some fun music. It's always a wonderful time. So if you can make it this Thursday, we'd encourage you to be here right here in the main auditorium. All right, Brother Yearwood's going to make a couple quick announcements, and then our choir and orchestra, A Simple Kind of Christmas.
Two announcements this morning. First of all, it's our privilege every year to be able to give a Christmas gift to our staff, a monetary gift. And if you want to participate in that this year, please take one of the pink envelopes in your pew and just mark it as such. And we give a gift to all of our staff members. And we would invite you to prayerfully consider participating in that and trying to show the appreciation that we have for them. We'll do that this Sunday, and then the next two Sundays we'll need to cut that off by the 15th in the Sunday evening service. So if you want to participate, please make that happen between now and the 15th. It's been 3 weeks since we've last updated you on our search for the pastor, and although we had a holiday week that necessitated some alterations in our schedule, there's been a lot accomplished in these last 3 weeks. Since our last report, the committee has received 5 additional recommendations. Each of these has been followed up with requests for resumes. Additionally, in response to the resumes we've received earlier in the process, the committee followed up with several candidates. Several prospects were eliminated from the list, while several other candidates received questionnaires and requests for additional information. This past week, we received an additional questionnaire response and information packet from one of the candidates, and we expect some others coming to us very soon. We do covet your prayers as we continue to communicate with the prospects, review resumes and questionnaires, and do our other due diligence with multiple other prospects. Pray specifically in several areas. First, that recommendations will continue to come in, that we have received some good recommendations even just in recent weeks. That the committee will have great discernment as we review questionnaires, listen to sermons, and et cetera. That as the committee and candidates interact via questionnaires and interviews, that both the committee and the candidates will clearly see God's will. And that our church family and the committee will not grow weary in well-doing, knowing that in due season the Lord promises that we reap, or he will provide the exact person that he has for us. We appreciate your continued support. We plan to provide another update between now and the end of the year. We ask for your continued prayer. Thank you.
The song we're going to sing this morning is A Simple Kind of Christmas, and it's one of the kind of the fun little songs that's in our cantata coming up. But the idea is that sometimes we get so busy with all that's going on, we forget that Christmas is about the Lord, about Jesus Christ. And that's what this song's all about. And so the choir's going to sing, orchestra's going to play, Give Me a Simple Kind of Christmas. Kind of Christmas. Somebody wants a simple kind of Christmas. Amen. 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 It's all about Jesus. I had someone wish me a happy Xmas this week, and I thought, not quite even sure what that is. And so I had an opportunity to share with them what Christmas was all about. I said, if you don't have Christ, you can't have Christmas. Amen. You got to have Christmas. Amen. So don't use Xmas. If you've been doing, you know, Merry Xmas or what, that's not good. You're leaving Christ out of Christmas. Make sure you put, and do it in capitals, capital C, capital H, capital R, capital I, capital S, T, right? Capital Christ, amen. He ought to be the capital of everything, right? Let's stand together. We're going to sing For God So Loved the World. Young people are going to be dismissed to head off to junior church, 4 years old through the sixth grade. We'll sing it, For God So Loved the World. The choir and orchestra will come join us.
For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son to die on Calvary's tree. Set me free. Someday He's coming back. What glory that will be. Wonderful His love to me.
Turn around, greet someone. We'll get ready for the offering. Thank you. Let's sing it together. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son to die on Calvary's tree, from sin to set me free. Someday he's coming back. What glory that will be! Wonderful his love to me. A week from this Thursday, our Senior Saints Luncheon over in the Waits Building, 12 o'clock, high noon. We're going to be eating over there. We're going to have Zesto's chicken, bring a side, and cookies to share. Bring 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 dozen cookies, whatever you want to make. And we're going to have a cookie exchange. So you bring a little basket, and you take one of their cookies, and then one of their cookies. And how many like that? Try all the cookies, amen? Kind of like we had chili last Tuesday. And we had some fire as well, but we had some chili. But we're going to do that. Please come. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, my stomach still hasn't settled down from Jim's special chili. I don't know if you could call it chili or death serum. But it is so great to have Evangelist Mike Maynard with us. And Mike is launching into a new aspect of his ministry. He's been with us just a number of times. He's one of my favorite evangelists. And before he has a word of prayer for the offering, I'd like for him to basically introduce something very special. He'll be in the back after the service, and you can get more acquainted with some of the materials that he has.
No, I'll wait till afterwards. Well, good to see you all. Your smiling faces. You don't look too abused from the over dietary consumption of Thanksgiving. That's a nice way of saying pigging out, isn't it? It's always good to be here. I want to say this before I do an introduction here. I think I'm going to wait and tell you about this after they do the offering. But a new project going here, but I want to say this before I pray. I do appreciate Pastor, his faithfulness here to this church, as well as to the cause of Christ. You know, being much older than I am, I've always looked up to him and his faithfulness and his many years of getting it done. And he may get this shifting gears in a different direction, but you know what? He'll never quit. That's just the kind of man he is. He's just going to redirect his call, his ministry opportunities. But it's always a privilege to share this pulpit and to be in this church. So let's have a word of prayer for the offering, and I'll come back after that guy gets done tooting his own horn over there. And I want to show you a couple of the DVD projects here. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for how good you are to us all the time. Lord, we just rejoice in this holiday season. What a great time to tell about our Jesus. And Lord, I pray we're very faithful buying up these abundant opportunities. Just like Brother Dave said, you know, people just don't really have a clue what Christmas is all about. So Lord, thank you again for this church. Thank you for this offering to keep this ministry impacting hearts around the globe. And Lord, I pray you'll be honored with all that's given today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Very nicely done. Well, as we've mentioned, a new project is just hot off the presses. It's called Fix My Heart, taken from Psalm 57. Fix my heart, oh, fix my heart, and I will sing and give praise. And if the heart's not fixed, then you're not going to stay fixed upon Him. And again, give the testimony and impact for Christ that we're supposed to give. For several years, I've written songs for Patch the Pirate. I've done some of these songs you'll recognize. You'll go, "You wrote that?" Yes, I did, humbly speaking. And, you know, I just tell them Ron's just a credit hog. That's all there is to it. No, I've been privileged to be a part of that ministry for a lot of years. But I've always threatened to put out a CD, DVD myself, and that's what we've done here recently. 20 songs, again, original songs, and why the DVD? Well, if you've watched me in ministry, especially with junior campers, I like to do a lot of actions, and 16 of them I thought were needed to be on a video presentation. Now, here's a scary thing. I'm 66 years old. You know, seeing me live is scary enough, but on a screen this big, that could scare anybody to the point of death. So a lot of Mike Maynard coming up on the screen. We're going to show you two samples of this. Now, they're both in this packet. Now, there's four songs on the CD that aren't on the DVD, of course, but you get the package plus an access to an ebook. If you don't know what that is, you older folks, ask your three-year-old grandchild. They'll help you understand. But that's simply an opportunity to tap into the sheet music as part of buying this whole package. So $25 for this, if that scares you to death, you don't have that kind of money, just let me know. We'll work something out here. As Pastor mentioned, I'll be in the back after we dismiss this service. But the first one we're going to see here is Look Me in the Eye. Now, I've done this here at this church, you may remember as you get into it, but my brother Doug, who's a video specialist, he did all the video work, and yes, it does look a little bit like Blue's Clues. Folks, we're not Pixar, okay? I don't have that kind of money, but it's very well done. And they say, well, Brother Maynard, what's your market as far as selling these? Well, I say about 3 years old to 10 and 55 to 80. I know who has the money, people. And grandparents, this will be a great stocking stuffer to get the gospel into the homes of your children and in front of your grandchildren. But it's just a hoot and holler to watch, as you'll see. I'm going to show two of them. I'm going to start with this one called Look Me in the Eye. Guys, you ready? Can we do it?
Okay.
Raise up your chin.
Raise up your chin.
Look me in the eye.
Look me in the eye.
When our talk begins.
When our talk begins.
Look me in the eye.
Look me in the eye.
Raise up your chin.
Raise up your chin.
Look me in the eye.
Look me in the eye.
When our talk begins.
When our talk begins.
Look me in the eye.
Look me in the eye.
If you're looking at your hands,
looking at your hands,
staring at your knees,
staring at your knees,
looking all around,
looking all around,
you're not looking at me,
not looking at me,
raise up your chin,
raise up your chin.
Well, look me in the eye.
Well, look me in the eye.
When our talk begins,
when our talk begins,
look me in the eye.
Look me in the eye.
If you want to be polite,
want to be polite,
and do what's right,
and do what's right,
well, give it a try,
give it a try,
look me in the eye,
look me in the eye,
raise up your chin,
raise up your chin,
well, look me in the eye,
well, look me in the eye,
when our talk begins,
when our talk begins,
look me in the eye,
look me in the eye.
Look at my left eye.
Look at my left eye.
Look at my right eye.
Look at my right eye.
Look at my eye teeth.
Look at my eye teeth.
Look at my iPhone, my iron. Well, just look me in the eye.
It doesn't get any better than that, okay? So if that scares you, there's more to follow, folks. I'm trying to do the more mild ones here so some of you won't pass out. But this next one I need to send to... Boy, I got a nice tan, don't I? It doesn't look that dark on the TV screen and the computer, but thank you, boys. I look like I've been to Florida for a couple months there, but it doesn't show up that way on a normal screen, but I appreciate the guys up in the booth. The next one I'm... Are you folks happier than you look? You scare me a little bit. The next one I'm going to do is called Fess Up, and I'm threatening to send this to Washington, D.C. It's about blame shifting.
Amen.
Y'all with me? And so this one's self-explanatory. And again, I wish I had time to show you five or six more here, but you'll catch a good visual perspective of what's going on. Fess up, tell the truth.
We all like to get our way, do what we want to do. But how far would you go to see your plan go through? Would you tell a lie or cheat? And then when you get caught, pass the blame to someone else without a guilty thought?
Not good.
You need to fess up.
Tell the truth.
You know what you have done. It wasn't someone else's fault. You're the guilty one. You can blame shift point to them, or blame shift point to that, or you could do the right thing and say,
it's my fault.
I was wrong.
There's no one else to blame here.
I lied. I didn't tell the truth.
I feel terrible.
Would you please forgive me?
I'm the guilty one.
It's my fault.
Then never ever blame shift to them or that. Have you ever got real angry when your brother bothered you? Or your sister irritates your brain like sisters like to do? The chase is on, mom's upset, you sing the same old song. You point to one another and say, I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, right.
You need to fess up.
Tell the truth.
You know what you have done. It wasn't someone else's fault. You're the guilty one. You can blame shift point to them, or blame shift point to that, or you could do the right thing and say,
I blew it.
I'm so sorry.
I feel so embarrassed.
I really messed up.
It's my fault. Then never ever blame shift.
No, never ever blame shift to them or that.
You can clap or something. Just yeah. Sign
the camera. Woo, brother. I don't know how to follow that up. Thank you for that. Great resource, great songs. You'll be singing those at lunch now today. Amen. Amen, amen. Well, this is a Ron Hamilton song. So following right up in the theme of Born in My Heart.
Born in a manger long time ago, Jesus left heaven to dwell on earth. Stillness, he comes again. Now I have witnessed his birth. Born in my heart, born in my heart. Jesus the Savior is born in my heart. He is Jesus is born in my heart. No room for Jesus, ruler of all, never a dwelling to call his own.
Got to get me in one of those videos. That would really be a hoot, wouldn't it? Open your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. As we finish out this tremendous, tremendous book, Keys to Rejoicing. I've learned that whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. The last section of this great chapter starts at verse 10, when the Word of God says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished." That word flourished has the idea of being revived. "Having flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." In a moment, we'll just see in this verse the apostle's carefulness as far as talking with these people, getting a message back. Epaphras brought the gift, and now he's enjoying the gift. And this is not a rebuke, but this is a blessing. They didn't know the need. But they, as a unique and giving church, when they found out, or got wind, immediately sent to meet the need. Let's pray. Father, we realize this, that the Apostle Paul learned about contentment just as we do. It's not a natural thing, it's unnatural. And so, Lord, I pray that we would focus on this morning the lesson that the Apostle Paul is trying to deliver to us. The contentment is one of the greatest virtues, one of the greatest demonstrations of our true trust in you. We love you, Lord. Now bless this time we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The church at Philippi was a unique church as far as its giving was concerned. They were a compassionate church. Time and time again, they gave to meet the needs of the Apostle Paul so that he could spread the gospel. In this 10th verse, he's very careful to not in any way sound like it was a rebuke, because there was a lengthy time when the Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome where he had some special needs. And Epaphroditus was the instrument that God used as far as potentially carrying the message, or at least hearing, delivering the message to the church at Philippi, and then the Philippians met the need as far as taking up an offering and sending to meet the needs of the apostle. Many times, and we saw this in our missions conference, one of our missionaries that ministered the Ivory Coast was pictured in basically an area. There was a prison camp, and a lot of these individuals were in prison for
things that were really ridiculous, unpaid debt, almost like a debtor of prison. And when they were placed in the prison, this prison, they, until basically the judges felt it was time for them, for their case to be brought forth, they just stayed in prison. And I'm talking about years, for simply not paying a debt or doing something minimal. And those individuals, unless they had someone come and meet their needs, many of these men in prison would die there. And so one of our missionaries, Cuthbertson, missionary-to-be that is, that was here presenting his ministry, showed a picture of a whole area where people had moved from their location to a particular community for the specific purpose of making sure that their loved ones were fed lest they die. And this is somewhat the case as far as the Apostle Paul's prison was concerned. And that is, his needs were met by believers who knew about the needs. The Philippian church was an extremely giving church, and we see this in those last verses. So the Apostle Paul in verse 10 begins by saying this, and that is, Philippian believers, I understand that you didn't know about my need being in prison. And so I'm not rebuking you, because I've always been thankful for how you've taken care of me and how time and time again you have met my needs without batting an eye. And so that word flourish means it's revived. This giving spirit is revived because you found out the need. And now in verse 11, very important, which is basically the theme verse of the message, and that is contentment is a major theme in our rejoicing. Contentment is a major theme in our rejoicing. And that is, contentment, first of all, is a learned virtue. It's not a natural one. In verse 10 or 11, the Word of God says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have what? I have learned that whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. You know, during the course of years, and January the 9th, I'll be 70 years old, and I have lived at some of the most wonderful times. There was a time when I lived with my grandparents. My father was working for the railroad, and they were traveling all over the place. And there's times where when he was working on the railroad, my mother would fly into different places. And California was a place where he was for a period of time. While he was working with the railroad, we stayed with our grandparents. And I remember in this particular farming community, they had a lot of cattle, had a lot of cattle ranchers, those that farmed, and they didn't have much. Matter of fact, way up in northern Minnesota, right by the Canadian border, one of the coldest places in the world was International Falls. And so we were close to, just really about 30 minutes away from the border. And I remember as I would go to my grandparents, literally there would be, you would have to go to about a mile away at least before you'd hit a neighbor. And I remember during those times that when things were economically tough, how that my grandmother would make gifts for us. While my parents were gone, they were unable to be with us, and there were times at Christmas when we were alone with our grandparents. And by the way, that was one of the greatest places on the face of this earth for us to be, because of the fact that they were just godly Christians, and they just absolutely loved us. My mother was the oldest daughter, oldest child in the family. And so during those times, my grandfather would make toys out of wood. He was a craftsman, and as well as a man's man, big burly chested man. When the coal mines in this area closed down, he did lumbering, and there was plenty of lumbering to do. He was a lumberjack. But I remember him sitting down in crafting different things so that we would have Christmas presents at Christmas time. And what a joy it was. He would finish some of those projects off. He'd have, he had a woodshed, and he had a coal-burning stove in his woodshed where he would shut the door when he was finishing some things off. And I remember opening up and how delighted we were just to get these things crafted, specifically crafted by our grandfather, and how special it was. I remember growing up, five boys, triple stacking bunk bed and double stacking bunk bed, in one room, 10 by 10. The closet was probably about 4 foot wide and had all of our clothes. We had one dresser for all of us. And I know that a number of you in the same circumstance, but you know something? I can say this without batting an eye. We were happy. We didn't have much, but we were happy. Most in this room are living in luxury in comparison to what you grew up in, 70 years and older. And the Apostle Paul, realizing the circumstance from when he came, he had it not. He came from an extremely wealthy family, taught under the feet of Gamaliel, was a person, because of his discipline, because of his education, became a prominent figure as far as the Israeli army was concerned. He lived literally a life of luxury. Those things, it says in this book, that he counted to be the most valuable things, he put those things aside and chose instead a life of poverty and suffering. Because even like as it's, I love in Hebrews chapter 11, where the Word of God says this, Moses chose to suffer affliction with God's people, choosing rather to basically enjoy the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul surrendered up his notoriety, his good position, because he caught a glimpse of the most valuable thing in life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't come upon basically this contentment in an easy way. He came on it by suffering and learning how to suffer and trust in the Lord. How would you like to have been stoned and go back into that same city that you were stoned and preach the gospel again? How would you like to have been placed, beaten severely enough that the Philippian jailer eventually had to wash his back and care for his back because of the beating that took place simply because he preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And then, that this contentment was so great that he and Silas sang in prison. That isn't normal unless you have Christ as the center of your life. And so the Apostle Paul says, contentment wasn't a part of my life, but I've learned that whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. And because of that, the Word of God says in verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You see, it starts out in verse 11 by saying, I have learned over the process of time, over what I have been through, I have learned that when I'm going through all of the adversities of life, to thank the Lord. And even as it says early in the chapter, rejoice in the Lord always. And when it says always, it addresses this principle here in all circumstances, no matter what you go through. I was thinking while you're talking to Brother Mike that you didn't ever know if you were ever going to speak again. What had happened, he lost his voice, which was pretty key for singing and pretty key for preaching. And he was in no man's land, literally. Been kind of confusing at that time to say, God, here, I've got a gift, I'm using it. You're using me. Why shut me down? Preaching is what I do to take care of my family, and that's just not merely an occupation. It's a calling. But you talk about having to trust in the Lord during those times. I remember praying for you during those times and wondering how you're going to meet the needs of your family and your dear wife. But God puts us through those situations, so we know this. He got his voice back, praise the Lord. He's still ministering. But you know something? We don't learn what true contentment is until we go through some deep valleys in which we really have to trust in the Lord and understand this, that we can either be depressed, we can quit, or we can trust. And so the Apostle Paul says in verse 11, I've learned. And then we take the next step. Because I've learned, I want you to know through what I've been through, I know how to be in these circumstances and how to trust in the Lord and to be content and to say, Lord, if this is the will of God for my life, thank you. Thank you. He says, I know how to be content, whether abased or abounding. And the idea is abased from the standpoint of humiliated, and he was humiliated. The beatings that he took, the preaching of the gospel, the things that were said about him, the different controversies he had to handle throughout church ministry. The Apostle Paul in no way had it easy. And every one of the epistles deals with different problems. Even the beginning of this epistle, there were a couple of women that were having difficulty with one another. Dealing with issues. And that's what life is. Life is not perfection. Because when sin entered this world, it corrupted everything. Amen. But you know something? The Apostle Paul learned through what he went through that God was sufficient. Whether abased, humiliated, shamed, or abounding, honored. He knew not only how to be content, whether abased or abound, he knows also to be content whether full or hungry, when his stomach was full or was empty, wondering about the next meal. He says, I know how to be content, whether abounding or suffering need, and that is whether my financial needs are met or whether they're not met. Kind of covers the whole picture. Living in humiliation or honor. Being full of food or being hungry because I don't have enough food. Be content because I'm abounding financially, or I'm suffering great need financially. I have learned that whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know because I've trusted and I've made it through. The second thing, not only contentment is a learned virtue and not a natural one, because our natural tendency is to complain, to moan, to groan, to wonder why God isn't taking care of our needs, why he's allowing us to go through a certain situation, and to complain. Secondly, contentment enables us to rejoice in all circumstances. When you reach a state of contentment, I can do this, then the Lord brings a joy that this world doesn't know. I, on a monthly basis, love to get the voice of the martyrs. And, there's a lot of similarities, but just recently we had the one in Indonesia, an Indonesian pastor. And I read another one this past week as well about, and both men were very prominent Islamic teachers, highly educated. And when they received Christ as personal Savior, they literally gave up everything, and their family suffered. greatly. For those people, Christ is the means of contentment. And that is, they're willing to lose everything. Many of these people are refugees. They had to leave their homes. The article that I read this past week, one family was final. Mosul was able to go back home. Their home was one of the only homes that was intact and remaining without a great deal of damage. The ISIS soldiers had been removed. And it was like they were starting all over again to build all over again. And they were just rejoicing in the fact that they were able to finally go back home. And I'm thinking about us, man. A lot of these people, when they fled, you didn't flee with anything except the clothes on your back, something maybe you'd possibly stick in basically a sheet. You'd fold it up and you'd carry it over your back, and that's what you left from your home. You'd leave everything. You'd have to have pretty good contentment in the Lord to do that, wouldn't you? And saying, no, I'm not going to go back to Islam. Loved ones saying, we're not going to have anything to do with you until you come back to Islam. Contentment enables us to rejoice in all circumstances, and that's why we have to look back to that first aspect we went into. And number one, the Apostle Paul says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. And that is, God commands us to rejoice in all circumstances. It's not an optional, and that is what he wants us to do, is he wants us to rejoice no matter what happens. That's what the whole context is. He's in great need here. He's not talking about something flowery, about having a little need met in his life. He was in prison and suffering and sometimes deprived of food, dealing with an issue in the church, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. That word moderation is forbearing spirit, and that what it simply means is patience. We are commanded to rejoice in all circumstances. Contentment is developed through situations that demand patience. How many would say here today, you know something, one thing I need in my life is I need more patience, huh? If you're telling the truth, everyone would be raising your hand, because we are not as patient as we should be, as we need to be, are we? And so what happens is God puts us in situations where we don't have any choice. You're either patient or you're waiting for the deliverance of the Lord, or you can just crawl in a shell and die. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul says, let your forbearing spirit be known unto all men. They're looking at you. They're looking at your reaction. Don't just do it for a few. Do it for a whole world that is watching and looking to see how you respond to those difficulties in life. And glorify the Lord through what you're going through. Let your forbearing, your patient spirit be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. One day this is going to be through. One day you're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen. I love Hebrews chapter 10. After you were enlightened, you received a great affliction. And then the apostle says, warns them, be patient, endure. Because you have in heaven a much more enduring substance than you'll ever have down here. And so we are commanded to rejoice in all circumstances. Contentment is developed through situations that demand patience.
And that patience must be manifest not only for our own benefit, it must be manifest because others are looking and seeing what kind of Christianity we have.
Thirdly, contentment is developed through prayer and thanksgiving. And so we're talking about rejoicing in all circumstances. Let your forbearing, patient spirit be known unto all men. And then the Word of God says that we are to be careful for nothing. We're not to be anxious. We're not to worry. And worrying is a very easy thing to do when we're going through difficult circumstances. But it goes on to say through prayer, that is immediately going into the presence of the Lord, supplication, taking this worry, this anxiety, this burden, and placing it in the hands of the Lord. And then having so much confidence that God hears you, you have this principle of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for allowing me to go through this situation. I remember one time I went through something that was unjust, and I thought it was unjust, and my mother was my prayer warrior. So I went to her and I kind of told her the circumstance and what I was going through at the time. And she looked at me with a big smile and says, "Praise the Lord." And I thought to myself, do I have to go through this one more time and explain to you what I just went through? She said, "Rejoice in the Lord. God's going to take care of you." You know, after I thought about it just for a little while, I said, you know, that's the truth. I can get angry about this situation or say how unjustly I was treated or how this. Or I can just say, you know something, Lord, if this is what you want me to go through, praise the Lord. You know, I'm glad I had that kind of a mother, amen. Amen. Instead, we could sing the song together, gloom, despair, agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. We could have gone in chorus on that one pretty good. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then contentment is developed through situations demanding patience. Contentment is developed through prayer and thanksgiving. Ultimately believing that God is going to take care of me and I'm to be thankful for whatever situation he allows me to be in, knowing that he's with me. I'm not alone. And contentment leads to a peace that guards our hearts. And the peace of God that passes all understanding. And that is, people don't understand why you're not dying, you're not quitting, you're not leaving. They don't understand that because it's not humanly possible for most people. It takes the help of the Lord. It takes the help of the Lord. And so, contentment through prayer and thanksgiving. And finally, contentment leads to a peace that guards. And that when it says that keeps, that word keep is basically the idea of putting a sentinel or army around our heart so that God says, I'm going to protect your heart no matter what happens to you. You're going to go on and you're going to rejoice and you're going to be patient and you're going to be content because I'm with you. What's the most important thing you have in the life? Christ says, it's me. It's me. It's not all these things. And one day I'm going to take you to be with me. Contentment is a learned virtue, not a natural one. Contentment enables us to rejoice in all circumstances, a joy that is inexplicable, a joy that only Christ can give. And finally, contentment's greatest resource is in Christ himself. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Number one, I've learned. Number two, I know. Number three, I can. I can do all things. What do you mean, all things? I can rejoice in all circumstances through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Who strengtheneth me? Contentment is the greatest resource. Contentment's greatest resource is Christ himself. And that is contentment's resources in the love and strength of Christ. For I am persuaded that neither life and death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He loves me no matter what I do. He may not love what I do, but he loves me. And nothing shall separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Contentment's resource is the love and strength of Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Contentment is a matter of trusting in the Lord in all circumstances. 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And contentment says, I don't have to have it, but I sure do appreciate it. I don't have to have it. And that's what the Apostle Paul says. Notwithstanding, ye have well done in verse 14. Ye did communicate to me in my affliction. That is basically sent money. That's what he's talking about, a monetary gift. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, where Philippi was located, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Contentment says, I don't have to have it, but I sure do appreciate it. I sure do appreciate it. Not because I desire or I long after a gift, but my desire is that souls would be put to your account. By you meeting my need, I'm able to spread the gospel. That's why we send out missionaries. You know something? It would be terrible to go before God one day. Number one, never have to won one soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, to have never invested in missions, to have others go out and win souls to Christ. Can you imagine not winning one soul to Christ, or not even taking some money and putting it in the offering plate designated specifically for missions so that other souls would be saved? They're not out there to meet just basically some of the physical needs of these people, although that's a part of their ministry. Their chief ministry is for the purpose of reaching souls for Christ. And when we read the missions letters, we better see that there's an attempt to get out the gospel in every one of those missions letters. Finally, the life of the Apostle Paul touched the lives of others. And what he's saying, those things that I've learned, those things that I know to do, those things I now do, you can do it as well. You can do it as well. And I love that 19th verse, for my God to supply all of your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Not only can he meet every need that I have, but he can meet your needs too. You see, you really can't say that as much until you've been through the ringer and you've lost and you've gone through sorrow and you've gone through heartbreak. You can say, I've learned it because of what I've been through and because of what Scripture has to say. And now I know it to be true because I put it into practice and I'm doing it. Now I want you to know you can do it too, because my God, if you're a Christian, is your God. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Contentment. One of the greatest Christian virtues that we can have. Godliness with contentment is great gain. How are you doing? How are we doing? Do you really trust in Christ? Do you really understand what it is to say to the Lord, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I know that you do. And I know you love me. And I know that I have to trust in you. And if I do, the world's looking on for a reaction from me as a Christian. See whether or not I can rejoice in what I'm going through. And if you can, they can't help but to say because of your testimony. He's got someone helping him out. Their Christianity is real. Isn't that what you want? A spirit of contentment that the world can see. In the last verse of Philippians, that God would be glorified. God would be glorified. That's how he ends the chapter before he says, Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. We have been so blessed, and sometimes the blessing has hindered my own personal growth. It has hurt me. I believe that most everybody in this room can say, boy, God sure has been good. Living in America, God has blessed us, folks. You know that. And yet I pray that those things that God has so wonderfully done in my life, I just won't neglect to thank him and be willing to suffer for him by spreading the gospel. Tell others about him. Oh, they may shut the door on my face, and they may refuse a gospel tract, or they may say, I don't want to hear what you're having to say, or they may blaspheme my God, my Savior. But that really isn't much to go through, is it? I don't know about you, but there's times I've had to say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me for enjoying the good life to the point that I just neglect you. I'm just putting so many other things first. God, help me to find my contentment in life in you alone. How many would say today, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. I'm assured of that, and I can give you a biblical reason. In testimony to that, would you just raise your hand and say, I know Christ is my Savior. Thank you, thank you. You can lower your hands. Is there anyone here today that would say, I do not know for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to. Pray for me. If this is your prayer, would you just raise your hand for a moment? Yes. Is there any others? Any others? Can I talk to you just for a moment, believer? Do you find your contentment in Christ or your contentment in yourself? Do you find your contentment in Christ or yourself? Are you satisfied? Are you content living a life
that does not exalt the Lord, or would you say, you know something, some things need to change so my contentment is in and through Christ? And simply by uplifted hand, say, pray for me. I need to find my contentment in the Lord and not in things. I need to find my contentment in the Lord and not in the circumstances of life. I need to find my contentment in the Lord. Would you just raise your hand a minute? Yes, 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 yes. Amen, amen, amen. Everyone stand on your feet if you would, please. 496, I surrender all. We're going to sing several stanzas of an invitation hymn. If you don't know Christ, we have men and women standing by to show you in the Word of God how you can be saved. It would be our delight today to see you leave the halls of this church knowing where you're going. If you've never followed the Lord in believers' baptism, that's a command. It's not a something that is a recommendation. It's a command. And you need to obey that command if you haven't. And then, if you are an individual that has some special needs, and maybe you need to reach out to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not satisfied. I've been content apart from you. You can be content apart from Christ. But a Christian should never, ever be content without Christ controlling our lives. As we sing the invitation hymn, according to the need, we invite you to come. As we sing, would you come? Mike's going to be back, and we invite you to go and to have a chance to visit with him. Even let him know you're continuing to pray for him. But they got to really use this ministry in a powerful way. I'm going to ask Drew if you wouldn't come and close the service with a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all that you have blessed us with, Lord. We know that we truly are a very blessed people, Lord, not just because of the many material things and comforts that we have, Lord, but because of the many spiritual blessings we have as well. Lord, I just thank you for our pastor and for each person who is out here this morning. Lord, keep everybody safe as they go their separate ways and bring us back safely tonight. I pray this in your name. Amen.